Unemployment improved a bit last month, but it's still nearly 9%. And the trouble is, job creation is so slow, it will be years before we get back the 7.5 million jobs lost in the Great Recession. American families have been falling out of the middle class in record numbers. The combination of lost jobs and millions of foreclosures means a lot of folks are homeless and hungry for the first time in their lives. One of the consequences of the recession that you don't hear much about is the record number of children descending into poverty. The government considers a family of four to be impoverished if they take in less than $22,000 a year. Based on that standard and government projections of unemployment, it is estimated the poverty rate for kids in this country will soon hit 25%. Those children would be the largest American generation to be raised in hard times since the Great Depression.
The story will continue in a moment.
In Seminole County near Orlando, Florida, so many kids have lost their homes, school buses now stop at dozens of cheap motels where families crowd into rooms living week to week. 11-year-old Destiny Corfey joined the line at this motel a year ago.
I never really noticed what people were actually going through until now, until we're actually going through it too.
David and Teresa Corfey never imagined their family homeless. Together, they were making about $40 an hour detailing expensive cars. There was a three-bedroom home, vacations, extras for the kids. But both jobs went, and then the house. Evicted, they found that the homeless shelters wanted to split their family up, boys and girls.
That was definitely something that I wasn't going to have, was being separated at a time like this. I figured a time like this that we needed to be together more than anything.
So David, Teresa, Destiny, George, and Chance moved into their van.
George climbed up here on the back seat, and Destiny and Chance here.
I was embarrassed that, like, maybe one of my friends might see me. I don't want anybody to know that I was actually in there.
Where was the van parked?
It was at a Walmart.
We would actually go in Walmart and clean ourselves up before we go to school.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
Save some money.
How would you do that?
I would, like, wash my face and, like, take a tissue, wash my arms and stuff.
We'll bring the toothpaste and the toothbrush and the brushes, like, so we'll go brush our hair in the mirror and, like, people would see us. Yeah. It would be kind of weird, but we went through it.
Tell me about the motel that you're living in now.
Well, it's a lot better than the van.
Yeah, it's really small, though.
Two rooms for the five of them. Exactly. Their possessions, family photos, you name it, went into storage, and they lost it all. Seized and sold when they couldn't pay that bill.
Most of my stuff was in there, my scooter, my game system, all my games, my clothes. So I lost most of my stuff, so.
I had so many of my toys and things, my Barbie dolls, clothes, and it was just all gone.
What's the neighborhood like around the motel?
Scary.
What do you mean?
Like, you hear on the news all the time about, like, shootings and it's all right there.
Nationwide, 14 million children were in poverty before the Great Recession. Now the U.S. Census tells us it's 16 million, up 2 million in 2 years. That is the fastest fall for the middle class since the government started counting 51 years ago. One of the areas suffering the most is otherwise advertised as the happiest place on earth, the counties around Disney World and Orlando. Just on Highway 192, the road to Disney World, 67 motels house about 500 homeless kids. The government counts them homeless if they have only temporary shelter. In Seminole County schools, 1,000 students have recently lost their homes.
How many of you in the last few weeks have gone to bed hungry?
At Castleberry School, students whose families are at the poverty level or slightly above qualify for the free lunch program. We talked with some of those kids with their parents' permission.
Who can tell me what it's like to feel hungry?
It's like hard. You can't sleep. You just like wait. You just go to sleep for like 5 minutes and you wake up again and your like stomach hurts and you're thinking, I can't sleep. I'm going to try and sleep. I'm going to try and sleep. But you can't because like your stomach's hurting. And it's because it doesn't have any food in it. And it's like a black hole.
And sometimes when I don't eat my stomach, you can hear like it's like growling, you can hear it.
Usually we eat macaroni or we drink water or tea.
My mom will sometimes like make food and then she won't have enough, so at night we'll just eat cereal or something. Other times my parents will fight about money because they don't have enough money to pay the food.
We have to sometimes take food from a church. It's hard because my grandmother's also out of work and we usually get some food from her.
It's kind of embarrassing because the next day you go to school asking kids if they want this or if they want that. If they have cereal and they haven't opened it yet, you go ask them if they want their cereal.
We found a lot of families are making a choice between food and electricity.
How many of you have had the lights turned off at your house? How do you study when you don't have the lights on at home?
Emergency flashlights, and I usually have to use them. I'll just light candles and sit around in a circle of candles.
Candles? Yes, ma'am?
I use candles because my mommy brings some.
I'll go out to the car and turn on the overhead and read out there and study.
Ashley Ray raised her hand to add something that we didn't expect.
I kind of feel like it's my fault that we don't have enough money. I feel like it's my fault that they have to pay for me and the clothes that they buy for me.
They're believing it's their fault that they're in the situation.
Beth Davalos runs the Seminole County programs for homeless kids.
Our numbers go up every day, between 5 and 15 new homeless students a day.
Every day?
Every day.
And she told us something else is new.
When I first started this program, 8 years ago, homelessness lasted maybe 2-3 months, but now with it lasting 3-6 months, a year or 2 years, this is when children are developing who they are, and their foundation is broken.
How are these kids doing in school?
They're struggling. It's much harder. They're more at risk of not doing well. They're focusing on how can I help mom and dad. We have so many students that want to quit school and go to work.
Beth Davalos is working to keep Jacob Braverman on track in school. His family lost this house suddenly in October. When he got off the bus that day, the door was locked.
That was the last thing I expected.
It wasn't your house anymore.
Yeah.
His mother, Rosa, lost her job, but the eviction was a shock. The bank told Rosa she had 30 days, but it was 5 days later that the cops moved them out. There's a lot of chaos in foreclosures all across the country because of the sheer number of them. There were 1 million last year, and 1 million are expected this year. In Florida, the counties with the highest foreclosure rates see some of the biggest increases in child poverty. Rosa was suddenly on the street, and like the Corfees, she faced splitting up her family.
This is what is important, is family is wherever you are. Together, it doesn't matter if it is in your house, if it is in one room, or in your vehicle.
As long as you're with your family, you're going to make it through all of this that's been going on. All of it.
Do you find yourself trying to cheer your mom up?
Sometimes, yeah.
And when you do that, what do you tell her?
I love you, Mom.
That always works.
Yeah.
Rosa, Jacob, Joey, and the dog are all in one room, right across the street. The neighbors took them in. We've seen a lot of that in our stories on the recession, neighbors, even strangers, opening homes to the homeless. We talked to the Bravermans at the neighbor's house. They've been here 3 months, and that is starting to worry them.
I want to give the neighbors their own privacy, too. You know, I don't want to be invasive.
So you miss your privacy from across the street. What else?
Sometimes, you know, I have to go to the bathroom at night, and here I have to be, like, really, really quiet, because if I wake them up, I don't want to make them upset and get us kicked out.
Homeless kids tiptoe in a world of insecurity, hoping to be invisible.
People said that I talk too much, and now they say that I don't talk enough, and that I'm really shy, I guess.
You think all this has changed you?
Yeah, and I haven't realized it, but I think I've gotten very mature in a very short amount of time.
Annie Corfee's family got out of that van and into a motel when her dad found a little day labor to scrape together a deposit on the room. He applied at car washes and at Disney World and worked as a bricklayer's assistant, but it was nothing steady. And as the hotel bill came due, David was short. He found himself prepared to do nearly anything to keep his family from being split apart by the homeless shelters.
So as embarrassing as it was, I sat down with a magic marker, and I've seen these people on the road with these signs before, and I wrote a sign out.
What did the sign say?
Said, "Please help, family of five." Every truck that went by would holler up out to them or let them see my sign, "Hey, do you need any help? You know, can I get a job? Do you need any help?"
I didn't think that it was going to have to like come down to that. Like, he was actually going to go and take the sign and show it to people, and I don't want people to know like that he's my dad. Like, I don't want to be embarrassed by people.
You must have thought that you would never be that guy, the guy with the sign.
Never in a million years did I think that that would be me. And I told my wife, this is America, and America is full of wonderful people, and I'm going to go out and see what I can do and see if there's someone out there that can help us.
He showed us the sign that eventually caught the eye of a woman who stopped to say she might have a job for him.
And sure enough, that phone rang about a week later. She said, "David, I'd like to tell you, you're golden. We have a job for you, and you can start Friday."
And that's where you got the hat.
That's where I got the hat. And
the University of Central Florida.
Absolutely. And I've been wearing this hat ever since.
He's a parking attendant, $10 an hour, and that's enough to keep the motel room, but not enough to get out. George dropped out senior year to look for work. But Destiny is still being picked up on the school bus route for homeless kids.
And when things get better again, we know that there's still people struggling, so we'll be able to help out a lot more, and we'll understand what they're going through.
Sure. This opened your eyes to an America that you didn't know existed?
Mm-hmm. I can't believe it.
We all hear about the recovery, that the recession ended in 2009, but some things are getting worse before they get better, and child poverty is one of them. America's motel generation is growing fast. Like the kids who came out of the Great Depression, this generation is being shaped by homelessness and hunger, but also by memories of neighbors who opened their homes and of families that refuse to be broken.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Love you, Destiny.
Love you, too.